Well, church, happy Good Friday. I know. Happy is not the word you normally associate with Good Friday, is it? But I want us to catch a vision today that is actually bigger than the sorrow, bigger than the news, because Good Friday is actually about hope. It's not just any hope, but a hope that is bigger than the moment, a hope that goes the distance, a hope that pulls us forward when the world feels like it's actually teetering on the edge. Let's be real for a moment. I want us to be real for a moment. It's a weird time we live in, isn't it? You know, prices at the servos. Have you had to fill up your car? Have you had to fill up a diesel car? You know, that is just brutal. We hear news around the Middle East and it makes us anxious, doesn't it? We hear presidents of countries make statements and we cringe and we wonder what's going to happen next. There's a sense that everything is just fragile. You can feel it in the air, yet maybe even you felt it as you walked in today, but I want you to know something. God is not panicking. He's not scrambling to adjust. He's not wringing his hand about the headlines. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Good Friday is a reminder that hope is not chained to our circumstances. So I want to share with you a few thoughts and understandings that help us with this, what it means for us to have hope. Hope in this time when we are maybe on the brink, but a hope that lasts forever. And I'm going to share my thoughts around Isaiah 52 and 53 and Hebrews 10. I'm going to put a couple of little key phrases just up on the screen for you, and I will just talk about what they mean. Isaiah paints this wild picture. Centuries, and I mean centuries before Jesus was born, there is this prophecy of a servant who would be beaten, bruised, and rejected. Let's listen to what it says. It says, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care." We know that this is the suffering servant. This is Jesus. And you know what? He steps into our mess. He steps into our worries. He steps into our world. And he stepped into a world that was on the brink then. I want to say this, God doesn't dodge the tough stuff. He moved into all of those difficult decisions and the world that was in turmoil then. And God continues to move in our world, whether it's fuel shortages, conflict, uncertainty, and all of that, God is there. That's the kind of God we have, not distant, not theoretical, but right here, sleeves rolled up, walking through it all with us. But Isaiah doesn't just leave it there. He actually moves on and he says this, "And when he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted as righteous, for he will bear all their sins." And this is such a great prophetic statement about the actions of Jesus on the cross that we remember on Good Friday, that Jesus has borne our sins, that suffering isn't the end. In God's story, darkness always is followed by dawn. The cross is real, and so is the resurrection. And that's the hope, hope that outlasts headlines. Hebrews 10 is just, it's not just a pep talk to some religious peoples all those years ago. It is a declaration for us to hold firm into faith and to stay true into faith. and to encourage those who may have yet to step into a belief in Jesus Christ to really step in. And it says this in Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the, notice that, the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. That's it, unwavering hope, church. Not just hope that flinches at every news cycle update, but hope that is bolted into the faithfulness of God. Our world is shifting, and we know that. But guess what? Our anchor, Christ, God, our anchor holds firm. Our confidence isn't in the price of petrol or in political stability. It's in Jesus. That's who we have. It is Jesus who opened a new and living way for us. And get this. We have the reference to the curtain torn. In the Old Testament temple, which was when Jesus came and he died and he suffered, that was the time that he was living. There was a thick curtain that separated the people from the most holy place, from the very presence of God. And only the high priest at the time could go in there once a year. There was a curtain, and that was a barrier between God and humanity. But when we hear the story of Jesus on the cross and we hear that the curtain had been torn from top to bottom, the significance is that now we actually have unfettered access to God through Christ. He actually invites us in. He's made the way for us. He's turned it apart and says, we have access. Not because we've got it together, but because Jesus made a way. Let me say this, hope isn't for the perfect, it's for the hungry. It's for the hungry, the tired, the ones who know that they need it the most. Hope is there for us. But let's take a breath. I want to say this, biblical hope is not wishful thinking or positive vibes. It's a confident expectation that is founded in God's promise. The message of Good Friday is that the worst thing is never the last thing. Because Jesus died and rose, our hope is alive. So next time you fill up at the petrol station and your wallet feels lighter, next time you go to the supermarket and you wonder why things are so expensive and we bemoan the cost of living, or you're looking at watching the news headlines scroll on by and you just want to hide under the covers, remember this, hope isn't cancelled. The world might be in a state of turmoil and brink of disaster, but our hope is anchored beyond that brink. We're not defined by what is happening right now, but by what Jesus has done and what is still to come. We are defined by Christ and Christ alone. Indeed, amen indeed. Hebrew actually says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good work. So if we believe that the best is yet to come, that hope is there, what should we do? We should be encouraging one another. Hope is contagious. It is meant to spill over. The world is anxious, yet we get to be the non-anxious presence. Not because we're naive, but because we're grounded. And grounded in our faith. We pray, we gather together to worship, we check on each other, we give lifts to one another when the petrol prices get too high. Now that's an idea. Let's carpool or let's walk, one of the two. But we're reminded that the story isn't over. I want to invite us to put this into action this week, next week, and on into the future. I want to invite you to think of a person who could use a little hope in their life. and reach out to them. Give them a call. Pray with them. Invite them for coffee. Let's be intentional about spreading the good news. Let's be intentional about spreading hope in practical, real ways. Our world needs people who carry hope beyond the immediate agenda and the immediate circumstances. So we need to be people who refuse to let fear set the agenda in our lives. Is that you? Are you ruled by fear or are you ruled by hope? Hope that is found in Good Friday. Hope that is founded through Christ. Good Friday is an invitation for us to step into that hope and claim it for ourselves, that we have access to God and God is above and beyond all things. Here's what I love about Jesus. He brings joy. He brings joy even in the valley of the darkness of shadow, the darkness of death. So let us not be so weighted down by the darkness that we actually miss the sunrise. Yes, the cross is heavy. Good Friday is a heavy thing. Yes, there is pain, but the outcome is freedom. The outcome is forgiveness and a hope that will make us lighter. I actually pray that you today will walk out with your steps lighter because of the hope that you have in Christ. Good Friday isn't the full stop, it's the comma before the resurrection morning. So today, let's have hope lift us up. Let's be people who laugh, who look up, who expect God to do only what God can do, that miracles will happen, that the world will move from on the brink of disaster because the one who holds the world in his hands have raised men and women that are willing to stand firm in the hope of what God provides. So here's where we land. Jesus carried the weight of the world, so we could carry the hope that only Christ could give us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good news? Our hope is actually anchored not in our circumstances, but in Christ and Christ alone. And we are called to be contagious carriers of hope in our lives, and especially when the world feels unsteady. So as we walk out of here, let's be lighter in our step, not because the world is fixed, but because we know who wins. It is God. The cross isn't the end. Sunday's coming. Hope is alive, and it's only found in Jesus. I want to say to you, if you're actually finding it hard to hold on to hope at this moment, right now, please don't keep that to yourself. Reach out to somebody. At the end of our services, we have a time of prayer. And if you're feeling heavy, you're feeling like things are on you and you want to have a bit more hope in your life, I want to invite you to come down the front and somebody will pray with you. Take that and let your life be lightened because of God working through you. We're a church family. We're here to carry each other. We're here to stay connected and to lift one another up in the journey. So church, let's just pray together. Our loving, gracious Lord King Jesus, thank you for the hope that is bigger than what we can see. Thank you for walking in our mess and carrying our burdens and opening a future that is secure for us. Make us a people of hope in a world that is on the brink. And Lord, may you come upon us. Give us your spirit, give us your hope, give us your blessing. We ask this in your name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.